Lesson 7. Outcomes. Identify the 7 clues to the presence of hazardous materials. Explain how pre-incident plans, occupancy types, and locations may indicate the presence of hazardous materials. Clues to the presence of hazardous materials. Awareness level personnel and first responders must be able to analyze all incidents in order to detect and identify the presence of hazardous materials. Incidents involving hazmat can be controlled only when the personnel involved have sufficient information to make informed decisions. The time and effort devoted to identifying the contents of buildings, vehicles, and containers result in greater safety for first responders and the community. Historically, first responders' failure to recognize hazardous materials at accidents, fires, spills, and other emergencies has caused unnecessary injuries and deaths. Once hazmat is detected, first responders can use a number of resources to identify it and its potential hazards. With that information, first responders can initiate appropriate response actions and perform them confidently. Some hazmat identification clues are easily visible at a distance, while others require responders to be much closer. The closer you need to be in order to identify the material, the greater your chances of being in an area where you could be exposed to its harmful effects. In general, distance often equates to safety when hazmat is involved. The following are the 7 clues to the presence of hazardous materials. Occupancy types, locations, and pre-incident surveys, container shapes, transportation placards, labels, and markings, other markings and colors, non-transportation, written resources, senses, monitoring, and detection devices. The order of the clues also represents, in general, an increasing level of risk to responders, figure 24.70. For example, using monitoring and detection equipment to identify hazmat is more likely to place responders in dangerous areas than using occupancy types or container shapes to provide information. Firefighters certified to NFPA 1001, firefighter I should be able to identify hazardous materials based upon clues 1 to 6. Pre-incident plans, occupancy types, and locations simply stated, hazardous materials may be found anywhere. Not all locations or occupancies are as obvious as the local chemical manufacturing plant, and you may have little or no warning when hazmat is transported through your area by road, rail, or waterway. However, pre-incident surveys and a structure's occupancy type may provide the first clue that hazmat is involved in an incident. The location and occupancy may also be an indicator that terrorism is involved. In today's world, a new and emerging problem is clandestine laboratories and illegal or legal grow operations. These laboratories may be located in any occupancy or location, including vehicles, campgrounds, and hotel rooms. These labs may be haphazardly assembled and are often booby-trapped. The sections that follow will address pre-incident plans that identify where hazardous materials are used, stored, and transported. Occupancy types which are likely to have hazardous materials. Locations where hazmat incidents often occur. Analyzing the incident. Pre-incident plans. Because hazmat incidents can be quite volatile, first responders may need to make decisions quickly and accurately. Conducting pre-incident surveys, also called pre-plans, and being familiar with local emergency response plans can simplify and reduce on-site decisions. With the groundwork laid, first responders can concentrate on the situation and operate more safely and efficiently. Pre-planning reduces oversights, confusion, and effort duplication, and it results in a desirable outcome. Furthermore, pre-incident surveys identify the following items: exposures such as people, property, and environment. Hazmat types, quantities, dangers, and locations. Building features such as the location of fixed fire suppression systems. Site characteristics. Possible access/egress difficulties. Inherent limitations of response organizations when trying to control certain types of hazmat emergencies. 24-hour telephone numbers of responsible parties and site experts. Site or occupancy response capability. Planning is an ongoing process that includes reviewing surveys and updating them regularly. Pre-incident surveys are not always accurate, however, because inventories, businesses, and other factors may change without notice. Compliance with existing reporting rules and regulations cannot be guaranteed. Always expect to find the unexpected. Occupancy types. Certain occupancies are likely to have hazardous materials, including the following. Fuel storage facilities. Gas/service stations and convenience stores. Paint supply stores. Plant nurseries, garden centers, and agricultural facilities. Pest control and lawn care companies. Medical facilities. Photo processing laboratories. Dry cleaners. Plastics and high technology factories. Metal plating businesses. Mercantile concerns such as hardware stores, grocery stores, certain department stores. Chemistry and other laboratories in educational facilities, including high schools. Lumberyards. Feed/farm stores. Veterinary clinics. Print shops. Warehouses. Industrial and utility plants. Port shipping facilities, with changing cargo hazards, figure 24.71. Treatment storage disposal, TSD, facilities. Abandoned facilities that may have contained or used hazardous materials. Big box retail stores. Shipping depots. Military installations. Residential occupancies have hazardous chemicals, such as drain cleaners, pesticides, fertilizers, paint products, flammable liquids, gasoline, swimming pool chemicals, propane tanks for gas grills, and other common household chemical products, figure 24.72. Propane tanks often provide heating fuel, and farms may have dangerous products such as pesticides and anhydrous ammonia. Any building with a fume hood exhaust stack or stacks on the roof, such as a research and development company or medical office building, probably has a functioning laboratory inside, figure 24.73. Locations hazmat transportation accidents may be more likely to occur in certain areas. Places where hazmat is transferred or handled, such as trucking warehouses, are also likely locations for hazmat accidents. These locations include ports, docks or piers, railroad sidings, airplane hangars, truck terminals. Consult with local law enforcement officials to identify and determine potential problem spots or areas based on traffic studies. Each transportation mode has particular locations where accidents may occur more frequently. Roadways. Designated truck routes. Blind intersections. Poorly marked or poorly engineered interchanges. Areas frequently congested by traffic. Heavily traveled roads. Sharp turns. Steep grades. Highway interchanges and ramps. Bridges and tunnels. Railways. Depots, terminals, and switch or classification yards. Sections of poorly laid or poorly maintained tracks. Steep grades and severe curves. Shunts and sidings. Uncontrolled crossings. Loading and unloading facilities. Bridges, trestles, and tunnels, figure 24.74. Waterways. Difficult passages at bends or other threats to navigation. Bridges and other crossings. Piers and docks. Shallow areas. Locks. Loading/unloading stations. Airways. Fueling ramps. Repair and maintenance hangars. Freight terminals. Crop duster planes and supplies. Pipelines. Exposed crossings over waterways or roads. Pumping stations. Construction and demolition sites. Intermediate or final storage facilities. First responders should also pay attention to the water level in rivers and tidal areas. Be aware of the following facts. Many accidents occur because flow volume and tidal conditions were not considered. These flow and tidal variances affect clearance under bridges, many of which also have pipelines, water mains, gas lines, and the like attached to them. Occupancies in low-lying areas that may be affected by flood conditions must have a contingency plan to isolate and protect hazardous materials, figure 24.75. Tidal and flow conditions are constantly changing. Areas that were once considered safe may become compromised by change of tide direction, flow rate, and back eddies. Once a hazardous material reaches an outside water source, it becomes a moving incident and is extremely difficult to contain, confine, and mitigate. First responders should be familiar with the types of hazmat shipments that come through their jurisdictions. For example, farming communities may be more likely to see tanks of anhydrous ammonia passing through, whereas a port serving an industrial complex with many refineries might see more petroleum products.